20 August 2003, we are studying stress, anxiety, and depression, and I am sorry to say we are nearing the end of this study. Tonight, kind of finish some things, and then maybe one more lesson, maybe two at the most, and we will be closing out this study. I consider this one of the most important studies as far as the daily life is concerned, along with one another series we did. But it's time to close this up and move on to other things. And let's begin with a word of prayer that the Spirit can open our eyes and ears to the things that He would have us to see and hear. Let's pray. It is amazing, Heavenly Father, the unbelievable structure of the universe that You have created, Heavenly Father, the relationship of our soul, spirit, and body, and how, Heavenly Father, our thoughts and things that go on in our soul affect our human body, this physical flesh that we're going to leave behind. That if there is a stress and anxiety, depression in the soul, how it affects our total being, including our bodies. And then, Heavenly Father, You said, I've got the solution to all stress and depression. You just trust Me and rely on Me. I pray, Father, as we close out this series, that You'll give me wisdom in these last few hours of study, pulling these things together, that we might see, appreciate, and praise You for all that You've done. Father, we sometimes lack the urgency of praise. But when we are face to face with the greatness of Your grace in dealing with our individual bodies and souls, we're just drawn to say thank You. We're drawn to praise You. And we praise You, Heavenly Father, for all that You have made us in Your Son. In His precious name we pray. Amen. All through our study, we have developed Satan's lie. Now, again, what is Satan's lie? Satan's lie is my performance is made up of my self-worth is made up of my performance plus others' opinion of me. And we have seen repeatedly how this is found in the Scriptures, if you want to see that, in the Scriptures. We have been dealing with stress, anxiety, and depression. Dr. Herbert Benson, B-E-N-S-O-N, a medical doctor, not a theological doctor, but a PhD, but a medical doctor, defines stress in a very concise and precise way that kind of puts together a lot that we're studying. Let me read it to you. It's very short, very, very good. Stress is feeling that your ability to perform, How are y'all doing tonight? Well, y'all can sit together just anywhere. We got thousands of seats and thousands are empty. Y'all doing all right tonight? Good. All right. Did you eat right here? How's the food there? I haven't eaten there yet. Oh, okay. Good. They're going to open up a little restaurant right here, I guess. It's going to be interesting to see what it is. What's it going to be? Well, there's one that they're hoping to get in their building right here, right there. Yeah, I don't know when they'll finish it, but that'll be nice. Oh, okay. I need to look at it. Okay. All right. Okay, we'll have to look at that too then. We might have international food restaurants all around here. All right. Okay, or not international, world. Yeah, we have a national restaurant here. Okay, Dr. Herbert Benson described stress this way, defined it. Stress is feeling that your ability to perform is exceeded by the demands you must meet. And people, that's powerful. Stress is the feeling that your ability to perform is exceeded by, In other words, there's something greater than your ability to perform. That is the demands that are made of you. And that's exactly what we're dealing with in our study of Satan's lie. That my self-worth is my performance plus others' opinion of me. And stress comes about when we fail to perform for God. We fail to perform for others. We fail to perform at that level that the church has put up for us. And that's what so much of this involves with. People, religious leaders, preachers, false teachers will lay out such demands of the law that after a while you just get to the idea, I can't meet these. I can't meet it. And that's what God designed in Isaiah 28, where it stumbled backward and all this. And this, people, is just the opposite of what God does. God says, my yoke is light. Know the demands of God. They're so easy and so light. And in case you haven't gotten it in all of this study, the demands of God, the commandments of God, are simple. Faith and love. And they're easy. Now, Satan's primary strategy to get you from faith and love, Satan's primary strategy to fulfill Satan's lie is to separate you from two things. That's how simple we can make all of this. Separate you from two things. Number one, the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Godhead. I'm talking here to believers. He tries to get the unbelievers separated from Christ. But for believers, get you separated from the Holy Spirit. And two, to separate you from the Bible as a basis of reality. The Bible as a basis of reality. Now, what's important, along with seeing that, is how he does it. He accomplishes the first, keeping you away from the power of the Holy Spirit, by getting you to try to do it in the flesh. Getting you to think you not only, first of all, think you must do something for God in order to restore you and save you and do things for you, but that you can. But that you can. I don't have time in this study. We're going to do it in our study of Job. I've been working on it. Those of you listening to this, you might want to just continue on into the study of Job. It's very important the way that Satan works all of this. And understanding his whole reasoning and how and why man has to perform and why is it so easy for you to come under Satan's lie. You're filled with this idea that God can't come down and just do something for me as is because God is pure and holy and I'm not. And if he comes and gets in touch with me, what happens to him? He pollutes himself. Remember, they're just so important to understand passages of Scripture. But if something unclean touches, or something clean touches that which is unclean, it becomes unclean. And you put a bad fruit with all this good fruit, and all the bad fruit doesn't get good, the good fruit becomes bad. So this is the way that Satan's got us thinking about God. God can't come down to you and do something because he will pollute himself. So you've got to raise yourself up so that God will not pollute himself. And that's why one of the reasons it's so easy for us to just accept Satan's lie. Now, he accomplishes number two. He accomplishes number one by getting you to think you can do it in your flesh. You have to do it in your flesh, and that you can do it in your flesh, not in the power of the Spirit. Point two, he accomplishes the second. And this is so important. Now, what is number two? Number two is to separate you from the Bible as the basis of reality. Now, how's he going to do this? This is so important. Be sure you get here and you listen now. Not by taking you away from the Scriptures. Not by taking you away from the Scriptures, but by getting you to see his lie in the Scriptures. He isn't going to try to accomplish getting you away from the Bible by taking you away from the Bible. All he has to do is have it every time you go to the Bible, you see his lie. That is that you must work for God. You must try real hard to obey the commandments and so on. And for the eye that will see, this is not what is going on in the Bible. And we have to deal with what really is reality. Now, Satan's most effective lie is those who fail are unworthy of love. And that's why you sense a sense of stress and depression. I'm unworthy of love. And I deserve to be punished by God. And we've dealt with a lot of this. I deserve to be condemned. I deserve to be punished. Satan wants to take your experiences of the past and the present and use them against you. This is the way it is. This is the nature of the old self before we become something else that we're going to see in Jesus Christ. Some of the most powerful strongholds of Satan in our minds were formed as we grew up in early years, and we studied this experience where we were hurt, experienced that pain, and we didn't even understand. Our parents use all of this, and we have abuse by parents and by others, manipulated, unjustly treated. You take everything on yourself, and it's my fault. Remember, people, and we're seeing this on Tuesday night, our study of Revelation-Jude, that what is instinctive to the flesh nature? What is instinctive to man? What does man know by instinct? He knows the law. Law is instinctive to our flesh nature. Law is instinctive. Self-worth as a basis is based on performance, opinion of others. That's instinct. We know that by instinct. One of the biggest lies used by Satan to short-circuit who you are in Christ is to keep you under his lie. That my self-worth is my performance and others' opinion of me. Self-worth, think about it. You're occupied with yourself. You're always looking at self. You're always looking at your performance. So you become the judge of your own performance and you evaluate yourself by it. Others' opinion, you're occupied with others. Think about these things. My self-worth is made up of my performance and others' opinion of me. So you're occupied with yourself, your performance. You're occupied with others, what they think, satisfying them. And if you don't satisfy them, they control you. This is how husbands manipulate their wives, how wives manipulate their husbands, parents their children, on and on and on. Well, I'm not really satisfied. And you feel real bad because you want to please. And they control you. Never able to perform adequately, never able to completely satisfy. And therefore, you're in that state. There are all kinds of things and places we could go in all of this. But there are two sources of reality. So he wants to take you away from the Bible as a source of reality. People, there are two sources of reality. Here they are. One, how we perform and what others think of us. That's one source of reality. Or what God says who you are in His Son, Jesus Christ. You get to choose. Which is reality to you? Which is true for you? How you perform and what others think of you? Or what God says you are in His Son? What God says you are in Jesus Christ? People, if Satan can block off your thinking and get you to see and think that you are who you are by your performance and others' opinion, he takes you away from who you are in Christ. If Satan can block you off from thinking of who you are in Christ, then there's only one other place. Think about this. If you do not think of yourself of who you are in Christ, there's only one other place to go for reality. And that's in performance and others' opinion. This is why people cater to man. This is why people will follow some preacher, follow some denomination, follow some group. I want their approval. This is this whole gang theory. A book written a long time ago had a strong influence on Adolf Hitler called The Mob. And it is man, just I need the approval of each other. Adam and Eve had to run to the tree when they realized they never sinned to cover themselves up to be approved of each other. It's instinct. It's by instinct. So if Satan can cut you off from thinking of who you are in Christ, people, there's only one other place you have to go for the reality of yourself, and that's performance and opinion of others. Now, it is a true principle that we all must have a sense of self-worth. And if we can't get it from what God says about us, we're enslaved to what Satan says. You have Satan's statement and God's statement. Satan's lie, God's truth. You get to choose which one you want to live by. And I'm sorry, if you're experiencing stress and depression, you have chosen to live under what Satan says. You may not like it. You may say no. But that's why you're depressed. That's why you're under stress. That's why you're stressed out. We must have a sense of self-worth. We must have that as living creatures. If we do not get it from what God says about us, we are enslaved to what Satan says. That our self-worth is our performance and others' opinion. So I must do all that I can to be good, to feel good about myself, and to please others. Satan's lie has destroyed many Christians, has ruined them. And the result of depression and stress and all these things we've been studying. Along with all things that we're going to look at, we're going to now tonight take a look at who we are in Christ. People, you're accepted. I haven't started the camp, but I'm just introducing it. You are accepted. You are adequate from the moment you believe in Christ for the rest of your life. Ephesians 1:6. Let me just read it for you. Ephesians 1:6. Which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. Which He freely bestowed. And we're going to look at some of the things which He freely bestowed upon us in Jesus Christ. Because of the merit of Christ. People, not because of your merit. Get away from that thinking. That somehow I have some kind of something to offer God. We're studying in Jude, the false teachers. And one of the great things is that we have something, or the lie, Satan's lie. We have something to offer God. It may be my repentance. It may be my confession. It may be my sorrow. It may be something that I offer God that will cause God to do something for me. People, please, just realize I have nothing of my own merit. My merit is in Christ. Not because of my performance, not because I'm really good, not because I know a lot of doctrine, not because I have charismatic experiences, not because I serve God, not because everybody says I'm a wonderful person. Because of who you are in Christ. His merit becomes your merit. And you're accepted forever. His merit, not yours. Now, I'll be doing this a little bit later, but I don't feel adequate. I don't feel accepted. Why not? Well, because maybe you failed in your performance. You've been rejected by man. So how can you feel accepted by God? Because God says you are. Do you believe that? People, it's that simple if you're depressed. Do you believe what God says? A lot of Christians don't even believe they're saved. They commit some horrible sin. Have an abortion, have an affair, sexual affair, Christians come along, even make you feel like you're not even saved. Not even saved. Something's taken away from you. If you can believe them, you're going to believe what God says. It's that simple. Sometimes it's hard to believe what God says because, well, I look and I don't feel that way. Your flesh says you're not. Flesh nature says you're not. Satan says you're not. Others tell you you're not. You have friends like Job's three friends. They're going to tell you you're not. Your flesh nature says, oh, well, I know how bad you are. All that stuff sounds good, but that's for somebody else. That's for the Billy Grahams. That's not for you. You're no good. You're rotten. The cosmic system is going to work. The whole structure of the cosmic system get you away from who you are in Christ. God says you are these things in Christ. Question, as we close out the study, who are you going to believe? I know you're hurt. Who are you going to believe? Now, it's one of those kind of things. You may say God because you know that's the right answer. You know, in your mind, you intellectually know that's the right answer. But do you truly believe it? Do you truly believe what God says about you? Do you believe God? Or do you believe Satan's lie? You have to decide. You may just be standing there alone. But you have to decide. Do you believe what God says or do you believe what Satan says? We live in a time, I got to have people. I got to have lots of people. Is your union with Christ enough, or do you need to have the approval of people? This is tough. It's against our very nature. Paul, when he first started out, he met with the disciples who actually walked with the Lord in private. Now, listen to this. You might think this is arrogant, but Paul was so set. He wanted to know if they truly understood the gospel by faith, by grace through faith and only faith, faith and only faith to be saved. Or did they add to it with the law from the Old Testament and all? And he was willing to just be alone. The numbers did not matter to Paul, but people, we get this idea that I've got to have the approval of others. It is powerful. And so it comes down when you're hitting the stress and depression level, do you believe what God says? Do you really believe it? The great battle is believing and living who you are in Christ. Let me rephrase that for you. The great battle of stress, anxiety, and depression, SAD, the great battle of SAD is believing and living who you are in Christ. Believing and living what God says about you. That's the great battle of stress and depression. It is not about circumstances of your life. Well, if people liked me, if I was successful, if this and that, then I wouldn't have the stress and depression. See, you're right there in Satan's lie. Nothing changes except you start believing who you are in Christ. You start believing what God says. Now watch what happens to your stress and depression level. If you truly believe it. That's the great battle. Because of the deceptive power of Satan, and because of having the judgmental words of others and the pressures we place on ourselves, all these stand against and fight against you trusting what God says. You've got a great battle in your hand. You've got your past sins and failures are present. So you've got your flesh nature. You've got the Satan's lie that you're living under. You've got the judgment of others. You've got your poor performance, judgment of others, the way they treat you. You've got the world system against you. You've got all these things working against you. Against believing who you are in Christ. You may just have to withdraw a moment. Not to withdraw in the sense of withdrawing from society, but get away from those noises. And get oriented to who you are in Christ. Now it's time to begin a brief look at some of the things that we are in Christ. That's what we're going to do now. It is up to you to believe these things about yourself. It is up to you. I don't care what you think you know about yourself. About your sins, about your failures, about all that's happened in your life, past and present, all the things you've done that are bad. I'm going to tell you something. Here's the truth. Here's the truth of what God says. It's up to you to believe it. All that I can do is draw it to the surface. It's up to you to believe it. Things we're going to look at by way of introduction. Some of these things we're going to look at as to what happened the moment you put your faith in Christ, and then we're going to apply it to your Christian life without making separate points between that. I'm going to try to pull it together a little bit. But let's note some things. Number one, what God says about us and who we are in Christ and our relationship with Him. Number one, in Jesus Christ, I am not condemned. I start here. For those of you who experience stress and depression, the heaviness that you failed, the heaviness of the absence of performance and what others are thinking. That's why I start here with this. In Jesus Christ, I am not condemned. What a nice feeling. What a nice thought. This is so important to so many Christians to know and believe that you are not condemned because of who you are in Jesus Christ. This is one of Job's big problems that brought the unbearable stress and depression over him. He was convinced by his three believing friends, his three friends who were believers, that he was condemned before God, and that he had to change his ways and perform to be right with God. All these bad things were happening to Job because he was under condemnation from God. Same thing happened to Paul. Romans chapter 7, we've read it so many times, but let me just remind you. Paul, as a believer, cried out, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death?" There's such depression and stress when you try to perform in the flesh. Paul is a believer. And I want you to note what he declares as a believer, not as an unbeliever, not as stating what happened at the cross, but something that we need to know later on in life. So please open your Bible to Romans 8. Please open your Bible to Romans chapter 8. I want to show you something now so that we can see this thinking taking our Christian life. You are not under condemnation as a Christian. And don't let anybody put you under it. Now, what I want you to note is, he is a believer, and he's talking as this way from a believer. In chapter 7, he tries the performance standard. He tries the opinions of others standard. And where it leads him to, in verse 24 of chapter 7, "Wretched man that I am." People, that's depressing and stressful. And look what he says, "Who will set me free from this body of death?" This is as a believer. This is not unbeliever, believer. "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." See, who am I in Christ? "Then on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with flesh, the law of sin." Now look at chapter 8, verse 1. "Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ." You're in Christ tonight? Let me tell you something. There is no condemnation. If you are in Christ by faith in Christ, there is no condemnation for you. And listen, please don't listen to those who want to keep you under condemnation, even as a believer, by twisting this verse around. You're not under condemnation as a believer. The penalty of all sins and failures has been paid for by Christ in full. You're no longer need to fear punishment, condemnation, for lack of performance, all these things. Okay, that's number one. You're not under any condemnation. Point two. In Jesus Christ, you are justified. In Jesus Christ, you are justified now and forever. Now. Don't let anyone take it away from you. When you're stressed and depressed, ask yourself, why am I stressed tonight and why am I so depressed? Well, it's because things aren't going the way I want. I haven't measured up to what I want. People don't think this about me that I want. If you write it down, if you write down on a piece of paper, why am I distressed? Why am I depressed tonight? Is my life going the way it is going? And you start writing it all down, and you're going to look at it, and hopefully you'll smile. Boy, I am living under Satan's lie of performance, because everything just deals with my view of myself. Now, on the other hand, write down who you are in Christ. You are justified. Please turn to Romans 3 now. You just looked at Romans 7 and in verses 8, chapter 8, verse 1. Turn back a few pages to Romans chapter 3. People, many of the believers in the Bible went through what you're going through. I know you think it's just you because the great believers, you don't ever hear of them coming under stress and depression. Billy Graham and whoever you think is great. So it just must be you. No, you're wrong. If you study the scriptures, you're going to find out that all the heroes of the Bible experienced some journey of stress and depression. Job wanted to take his own life. He just wished he hadn't been born. David, the same thing. Paul. Peter just was all out. Okay, Romans 3:22. Chapter 3, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God. Well, see, that word righteousness, that causes a lot of people depression. God is pure. God is righteous, and I'm not. Ooh! No, no, no. Don't be afraid of it. Run to it. I'll show you why. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ. Now, see, here it is, in Christ. Who are you in Christ? For all those who believe. For there is no, see, it's just simple faith. No performance. Do you see that? It's not performance. God isn't asking for performance. Our opinions. Those who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Those people judging you, maligning you, acting self-righteous around you. Let me tell you something, people. They're saved the same way you are. Being justified. Now look what it says. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look what it says. Being justified as a gift. Do you hear that? Do you see that? Note what it does not say. Being justified by performance. Being justified because they lived up to some standard. Being justified because you worked hard. Being justified because you're moral. You pulled yourself up a little bit. Do you see it? No, you don't. And you won't. If you truly understand God. Being justified. This is true as an unbeliever. And people, if you see it, it's going to be true as a believer. Being justified as a gift, a free gift, by His grace, through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. There it is. If you're in Christ, you're justified by no performance. It's a free gift of God. People, just please understand this as unbeliever and believer. As a believer, you're not justified by performance. This doesn't change. This is God. This is grace. Through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God, referring to Jesus Christ, whom God the Father displayed publicly as a propitiation. It's a 50-cent word meaning for a satisfaction to God. Do you understand what He did, what I just said to you? The basis of your being reconciled with God, justified before God, is not, it does not have anything to do with your performance. It has to do with the satisfaction of God through Jesus Christ. How did you receive that propitiation? Through faith. Not by any performance. Now that you're a Christian, don't let anybody take you away from the principle of Romans 3:22. And many will try. Many preachers, false teachers will try to tell you, oh, well, yeah, that was when you were an unbeliever. But now if you want to be justified as a believer, you're going to have to perform. Then it's no longer grace. Grace isn't going to change from one side of the cross to the other, my dear friend. If you don't have to work for it, for salvation and justification at the cross, you don't have to for any point in your life. Okay. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified as a free gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. That's what we're studying, who you are in Christ, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation, a satisfaction to God, not your performance, but His. In His blood through faith. This is received by simple faith, not by performance. This was, look at this, to demonstrate His righteousness. Don't be afraid of His righteousness, and don't let anybody else use that as a club over you. Because in the forbearance of God, He has passed over the sins previously committed. That's previous to the cross, and since the cross, all sins of all mankind. I know how some of you feel inside about yourself sometime, and how others around you try to confirm it. I know I'm unworthy. I know I'm sinful. I even have a sin pattern like Clinton, or a sin pattern as he has a sin pattern. I didn't like his, but I have one. I know that I am incapable of performing. So I can't meet his standard. I can't be righteous before God. Good. Don't try. Let me tell you a little secret. The worst thing that can happen to you as a believer, I was an unbeliever, but I'm talking to you as a believer. Worst thing that can happen to you as a believer is to be successful at the standards that you've set up. Well, if I'm this good, I'll be good before God, and then to be successful. If yours is morality, if I'm just this moral, then I'll be okay with God. If it's knowledge, if I learn just this much, I'll be right with God. If I keep learning every day, if I serve this much, I'll be right with God. It's one of the worst things that can happen to you. One of the worst things that can happen to you is to be successful at your system, because you won't see your need. You won't see your need. It's a horrible place to be. I've done that in another study, but it's a horrible place to be in life. It's not a horrible thing to fail. It's a horrible thing to succeed in the flesh. These people that are so strong in the flesh, and boy, they can do whatever their little religious trend is of moral righteousness or knowledge or charismatic experience or serving God, and boy, they are successful at it in the flesh, they'll never see their need. The moment you and I fall flat on our face, we see our need. That's why Paul boasts in his weakness, because his weakness caused him to see his need of just trusting. So we come to that point where we realize that God in His grace and His love and His mercy has made a way through His Son. He's justified me. He has announced or declared me as righteous. He now has regarded me worthy of salvation, worthy of His love, worthy to be reconciled with Him. People, not by your performance. Listen to me. This is God's view of you. Worthy to be righteous, worthy to be loved, worthy to be reconciled to Him. You can say that God has raised me up into a new creation of value. This is who I am in Christ. And don't let anybody take it away from you. All I have to do is to claim who I am in Christ by faith. Point three. In Jesus Christ, you are buried with Him in His crucifixion, and you are raised up a new creation. People, you're not, I'm sorry, you're not that person that's out there sinning. You are a new creation in Christ. All I want you to do is to become who you are in Christ. When you're stressed, when you and I are stressed, and I experience it, when you and I are stressed and depressed and all these types of things, what do we know about ourselves? I'm in the flesh. The new man, who you are in Christ, isn't going to be. Because the old man, the flesh, lives under Satan's lie. You want to have a little fun as we close out? Turn to Colossians 2. This is where we began. This is where we'll start closing out. I don't want to know how long ago we began. Leslie does a tape sometimes, and then she likes to tell me when I say those kind of things. I don't want to know. It's been a while, I know that, but it's been a great journey, as far as I'm concerned. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith. So we're buried, the old flesh is buried, and we're raised up with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. We are raised up a new creation in Christ. Point four. Reference? Colossians 2:1. I'm sorry? 2:12. Well, then the computer forgot a 2 on there. Boy, the computers will get you. Man, they get viruses, and then they get on their own and how they want to type things no matter what I put in there. Yeah, it's the software stuff. I know. All right, 2:12. Let's go to point four. I'm not going to develop a lot of these. I don't want to give them to you because there's just so many. Here's a good one. In Jesus Christ, you are brought near to God. And I want to word it just that way. in Jesus Christ, you are brought near to God. When you're stressed and depressed, you don't feel like you can be brought near to God, do you? You feel like you're separated from God, and God's separating from you and judging you. And that's the way people make you feel. In Jesus Christ, you're brought near to God. The whole structure, one part of the whole structure of the Roman Catholic Church is, you're not good enough to be brought near to God. You have to come through a saint. You have to come through Mother Mary, or you got to come through some saints that they have set up, and all these different kinds of saints. And what's the theory behind all that? You're not worthy to come near to God. Don't do that. If you're in Jesus Christ, you are brought near to God. And people, not by your performance or the lack of it, and not by the opinion of others. Maybe by the Pope, maybe by your preacher, maybe by other Christians in your church, even though it's not Roman Catholic, your preacher, all these people, you're not really worthy, you're not really good enough. To God, you are worthy to come near to Him if you're in Christ. Please understand that. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. I say that with confidence. It may not be right. Ephesians 2:13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near. See where I got it? You've been brought near by the blood of Christ. But now, in Christ Jesus, who are you in Christ? You are brought near to God. Not by your performance, people. Not by sin or sinlessness. Do you understand that? It isn't by sinlessness. It isn't by being good. It's because of who you are in Christ. You're brought near to God. This is so important and so beautiful. This sets the pattern of your whole spiritual life, or your Christian life, as a Christian. There are those who would tell you that if you are separated from God because of your sins and failures, your non-performance. And to be near to God, you've got to perform. That's what Job's three friends were telling him. But now you know the truth. You want to believe Satan's lie, or you want to believe what God says? God says, you're near to Him. You're near to Him. You're near to Him because you're in Christ. Let's go to the fifth one. In Jesus Christ, you are an heir. You are an heir, an adopted child. Not because of your performance, but by His doing, which you receive by faith. Please look with me in the Bible to learn something about yourself. Stay away from Satan's lie. Let's see what the Bible has to say. This is reality of who you are in Christ. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Let's get to reality. Let's find out what God says about you. Oh, you're not worthy. You're just a black sheep of the family. Get out of here. We don't even want you at our family reunions. You're a bum. Not God. Galatians 4:6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. People, you are a son, you're an heir, you're a child, whatever way you want to word it, of God, because of who you are in Christ, not by your performance. Man, family reunion, you're not worthy to be here. We don't want you here. You're no good. You got a black mark all over you. If you're in Christ, to God, come on in. You are an heir. Point six. Very important. In fact, I'm going to close with point six and seven. We're going to study them kind of together. Note them together. Point six. While I exist on earth in the flesh, in Jesus Christ, I live by the power of God. That is the Holy Spirit. So many Christians work hard to perform for God, doing their part. Yet as soon as you realize that there's nothing you can do, and you realize that you are weak, then you're left with no choice but what? To trust Him. To walk in His power. Now, so point six deals with the power of the Holy Spirit, which I'll come back to. But I have to deal with point seven to answer how do we live in that power? How do we live in that power given to us? Point seven, in Christ. This is so important. I'm glad we're going to close with this one. In Christ, I live by faith. Do you believe that? Or do you believe you have to perform? Well, you got to mix them together. That's what most Christians do. Well, that is truth there, but you got to work. You got to do. Faith's okay, but you got to perform. No. In Christ, you live by faith. I'll show you if you want to see it. Not by performance, by faith. Let's start off with 2 Corinthians. I hope you have your Bibles. Do a little Bible study here, a little Bible work. 2 Corinthians 5. I love the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Very simple. Now, what precedes this is really good, dealing with our heavenly state, eternal state, and all that, but here living on earth. For we walk by faith, not by sight. People in Christ, you walk by faith. Now we have to go to an Old Testament passage. Stuck in a minor prophet, insignificant to a lot of people, passed over, is one of the most profound statements in all of the Bible. Let's look at Habakkuk. Habakkuk. You don't know where Habakkuk is? That's fine. Look at it on the table of content. It's a minor prophet. Boy, if we ever study Habakkuk, it'll knock the tobacco out of you. It is so powerful. It deals with the prehistoric war. It deals with the whole history of man. We might look at it somewhere in Galatians and Revelation. Of course, we've already stopped and looked at Jude. We're going to have to stop and look at Daniel. And we're going to have to stop and look at a lot of places. We might as well stop and look at Habakkuk somewhere in Revelation. Habakkuk, you found it? Okay, hope so. Habakkuk. Now, what I want to just have a little fun with you as we close out tonight in dealing with Habakkuk, and so that you can get a little bit of an appreciation of this great prophet and things that he's going through. I should have already turned there myself because I want to show you something that's fun with Habakkuk that I'd like you to see. Is look at chapter 1 of Habakkuk, and I want to show you something in dealing with chapter 1. Is you'll find two words of just total desperation by this prophet. In chapter 1 and verse 2, he says, cries out to God. You ever done this in your stress and depression? How long? How long is this going to go on, oh God? How long am I going to feel this way? How long is the circumstances going to be as they are? And look at the first word of verse 3, Habakkuk. Habakkuk 1, verse 2, how long? Look at the first word of verse 3. Why? You ever feel that way in your depression and stress? Okay. Now look at Habakkuk chapter 2. Look at God's answer. Chapter 2, verse 4. How long is this going to go on and why is all this going on? In chapter 2, verse 4. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him. Look what it says now. But the righteous will live by faith. That's you. You're in Christ. You are declared righteous. How are you to live? By faith. By faith. Now quickly turn to Romans. You know where that is in the New Testament. Romans. Look at Romans chapter 1. Yes, sir. Always. The righteous, through all history, will live by faith. Yeah. No. Yeah, your entire life. Okay. Romans chapter 1, look at verse 17 with me. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Who's the righteous? Performance? No. Believer in Christ will live by faith. See that phrase from faith to faith? Let me tell you what that means real quick, very quickly, so you see that the pattern is taught in the Bible. From faith, that's salvation faith or saving faith, eternal life saving faith. To faith, that's your Christian life. From faith to faith. That's what's going on there. Now keep turning over a little bit and you'll come to Galatians. You'll come to Galatians. Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians. Chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 11. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. Do you understand that? No one is justified before God by performance. That no one is justified by performance before God is evident. The righteous shall live by faith. Faith in the Holy Spirit, trusting Him, that's the power we're going to live in. Look at the principle in 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, one of the most important chapters in the Spirit-filled life. Romans chapter 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. But right now we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And all I want to look at is verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, and by my message and by my preaching, were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, even power, don't forget the word and, but even of power. Why? That your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. And what's the power of God? The Holy Spirit. We trust the Holy Spirit. So you combine points 6 and 7, that in Christ we live by the power given to us. How do I tap into that power? Point 7, by faith. Trusting the one that God has sent to do what He sent Him to do for us. And that's how simple. That's how simple this is to live who you are in Christ. Well, we're not even just begun here. I will try to finish them up next week. I'll give you a few ideas of some other places you can go, of who and what you are in Christ, and this is who you really are, but it's up to you to believe it. Is it enough just to live by faith? Yeah. It's faith in the power of the Holy Spirit, and He will transform you into Christ, not your performance, but the Holy Spirit. Going to believe Satan's lie, or are you going to believe what God says about you? Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise You for the God You are. We praise You, Father, that You just started us off by completely creating us a new creature, simply if we trust You, so that we would understand all through our life that all we have to do is trust You, not perform. Not do and do, rule on rule, rule on rule. Here a little, there a little. But the righteous shall live by faith. Just trusting You. And as we live who we are in Christ, there is no place for stress and depression. Stress and depression are related to this world. Living who we are in Christ is related to eternity. We praise You, Father, in Your Son's precious name. Amen.